Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the 80s Flophouse Podcast. My name is Richie. I'm here with my back-to-school bros, Tony, Jimmy, Dusty, and Ryan. And yes, tis the season for the kids to head back to school, sometimes with some stress, but aren't you secretly glad they're out of the house? And aren't they happy to be back with friends? And do you anticipate your backseat to be covered with Doritos and sneaker prints for the next 9 months? I know I do. So let's say a quick prayer to the JanSport gods. Let's drain our power bricks and refill our water bottles with an appropriate adult beverage. Let's get going. What's cheers, up, hey, fellas? Hey.
JanSport.
I like it. Isn't like Herschel JanSport. the new JanSport of this generation? I don't know.
My kid's got Vans backpacks.
Now we're talking, Ryan. Yeah. I love that, baby.
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
They are cool.
Yeah.
You mentioned JanSport backpacks. Why do the kids these days need a new backpack every year? I had the same JanSport backpack,
Dusty,
all through college.
With the leather bottom on
grab mine
it.
And
yeah, those were
I
dope.
Have it.
Oh yeah,
I do. No,
they last forever, and I don't understand either. Like, we have like six backpacks in the closet, but those aren't good enough for the new school year.
Dude, I'm going to take a picture at the end of the podcast of the closet. I have a closet that it's a whole closet full of backpacks. And you're right. Every year there has to be a new one. It's like almost like an accessory. Like, oh, no, I can't carry the same backpack. Are you kidding me?
I
have a plethora of them.
Yeah.
I'm with you, Dusty.
Did we have backpacks in high school?
Not high school.
I don't remember ever having a backpack.
No, because we had lockers. Right. Nowadays, kids don't have lockers.
Well, my youngest daughter has a locker. But my high school student doesn't,
Dude, miss those lockers, man. I've been hanging pictures, on there and tape.
Punching them,
all
take your aggression out.
All that stuff, man. Good stuff.
It was like your first apartment.
That's so true.
Like that's your place with your stuff that you can decorate and
always you have a buddy that goes, "Oh, hey bro, I'm kind of late. Your locker's open. Can I just stick my stuff in there?" And you're like, you say yes because you want to be polite, but on the inside you're like, "Bro, really? No, I really don't want anybody else's stuff in my locker."
Yeah, yeah. So, and there's always that time where you forget your combination. You're like, "What?" I knew it.
Always after Christmas break.
Like you've been.
Yeah.
That's it.
And the only other person that knew it was your girlfriend, and you broke up over Christmas break, so you're still screwed.
That was always the worst, too. That was like a test, Jimmy. Like, you didn't want to give the girl you were going out with your locker combination, but like, she wouldn't let you not do that because that didn't mean you were serious. Yeah. But then once you did, you were like, you were screwed because if you guys broke up, you just knew that. You were done. The inside of your locker was toast. Your books were gone.
It's just gone. Yeah.
Dog crap in a brown paper bag.
Or it's just the opposite. Like you go in there in the morning and you open it and it's like, she's decorated it put up her own picture of you two in there. And I'm like, awesome.
I remember,
thanks.
I remember that. I remember one time I was trying to be all manly. I was going to show Larry this. Like I had a new picture of, Lester Hayes and Mike Haynes, that's right, and Lester Hayes. So I just caught him out of Sports Illustrated, put him on, I was going to show Larry, and I go to open it, and one of my girlfriends had put kissy faces, Hershey's Kisses, a big picture of her and me in there. He's like, "Bro, what? Like he was looking at me like, "Dude, that is so wrong."
Yeah.
So happy for you, buddy.
Exactly. You brought me all the way over here to show me that. It's like, no, really, I did. I had pictures of those guys up there. Yeah, whatever, dude.
Yeah. And lockers were your meeting places, too. Like, you're meeting at the locker. Meet at your locker.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It was hub. Yeah. It was the center of our high school.
Do you remember how cool you felt when you got your locker in A-Wing, like, as a senior? Was it A-Wing?
Yeah.
Yeah. The senior lockers.
Yeah, that's right.
You're like, yeah.
And it was upper. It was an upper, too.
I made it, baby.
Yeah.
I forget who had their locker down below me. God, I wish I could remember who it was. It was right underneath me. I was used to just press my pelvis into his back and everything. He was so pissed. He would get so aggravated. I think he was like a junior, and I'd like just press it into him every time. He'd be like, "Dude, Castillo, what are you doing, bro?" Sorry, man.
The hierarchy of the lockers was either the penthouse or the basement. There was no middle floor.
Dude. I had a bottom one my junior year, and it was the worst, man. And there was a couple of huge dudes above me, and they just kicked me and randomly pushed me out of the way. It was Good times.
Can I get to my locker, sir?
Excuse me. Excuse me, please.
He's humping your ear.
Exactly.
That's where Tony got it from.
Somebody else had to pay for it, Jimmy. Stuff rolls downhill, buddy.
I think they were alphabetical, Tony, so we probably could figure out who it was.
Probably, yes.
Yeah.
God. I'll have to look into that, Dusty.
Dang.
I like how our first topic was lockers, and that was just organic. We didn't that wasn't our topic at all. So we bypassed small talk and went straight to lockers.
Yeah, if the listeners could see the schedule sheet, it's like we don't even follow that thing.
We're off. We're off, and it's not even a minute in.
Oh gosh. So how was you guys this week?
Oh, sorry. Speaking of.
Me and the boys were driving somewhere and we saw a city bus and they're like, I've never taken a bus. And my other son said, me neither. I'm like, they asked me and I'm like, I took a bus all the time. When I was going to X-ray school, my wife and I were married. We had one car. So like I took the bus to school and to work. And at the time I was working at, Applebee's. So they have the, different color polo, the blue, navy blue pants. Yeah. So I'm getting ready to go to the bus stop and I'm dressed for Applebee's. I've got like a blue shirt on, the navy blue pants. And it was back in like the mid 90s. So I used to like spike my hair really high, like 3 or 4 inches off my head. I thought I looked cool. So I look out the window and it's starting to rain. So I grab this neon sweater, not even thinking it doesn't match anything I'm wearing, put it on. I get up to the bus stop and there's like 8-10 kids there with special needs and a teacher. And on the way to the bus stop, as I was walking, the rain was coming down from the side and it pushed down all this hair here. So the hair on the left hand side was standing up, but on the right side, it was flat against my head.
Flock of seagulls, Jimmy.
Yep.
Well, I was going to say like flock of seagulls, bro.
I let everybody gets on. I get on last and I go to put my money in the thing and the lady taps my hand and she goes, no, honey, she already paid for you.
I felt sorry for you, Jimmy. Oh,
Jimmy. Thanks, just, lady.
Then the whole bus ride, you had to prove that you weren't part of that group.
Which makes you look even more like a part of that group. Start trying to walk cool and trip, but just no.
Oh, yeah. Jimmy said something that kind of reminded me. I remember when I first started kind of doing some of the business meetings, executive type stuff. And so I didn't have a ton of money. I just started my business and I was like, okay, I'm going to go to like TJ Maxx or Ross and see if I can find a suit, a suit in here. And I think I had like a meeting at the Beverly Hilton or something like that. A really nice meeting. Dude, all I could find was this suit that was like, it didn't quite fit me right. Then the lapels were, I don't know, they probably set it there because the lapels were a little off. And I remember showing up to this meeting. These guys have these like $10,000 suits on and like the skinny tie and like these little lapel clips and a scarf and like cufflinks and everything. I show up, I got a fat tie with a big old huge knot. So it's just nice. It's funny, I was thinking about Jimmy going to X-ray school and I was,
you go to put your hand in the pocket and it's still sewn shut.
Exactly. And these guys were looking at me like, what? And I was just like, oh man, it was hilarious.
Stitching on the sleeve.
I wish I could snapshot those things, I think it was even a double-breasted one.
Like four buttons.
They were looking at me like, dude, come on, man.
Oh, where'd you come
from? But it only went to your waist so you could see your belt.
Jimmy, I don't even know if I had a belt on.
Oh, man.
Oh, the good old days.
Oh, dude.
That reminded me of Jimmy's story. Reminded me of a story I had with the bus, the city bus. And hopefully I haven't told it before, but when I was in North Carolina, I'd take the bus to school. There was a long line of people waiting to get on the bus at this apartment complex. And I was the last one. And everybody got on, and then I just started to put my walk up with my head, and he shut the doors on my head.
Like closed in the door, like scissors?
He closed my head. Like, do you not see me? Like, he closed the doors on my head. And I'm looking up at him, hey, I just start driving.
I'm trying to think. I remember I rode the bus one time from Needles to Barstow, I think. That was quite an adventure.
Greyhound. Were you running away?
No. Although one year, funny beginning of school story, I did tell my parents, I'm running away. I think I was like in fourth grade. And my dad goes, okay. And yeah, my dad's like, okay, we'll see you later. Be careful. And my mom's like, no. She's screaming at me and everything. And I said, no, I'm leaving. And I got out and ran out the door and went down the street, knocked on my friend's door. Nobody was home there. Nobody was home across the street. So I was like, I guess I'm coming back home. I walked back in the house. My dad's like, boy, that wasn't long. Well, I forgot my stuff. I'm just going to go to bed.
Right.
Guess I didn't want to go to the first day of school.
Well, nice. So why don't we kick off the episode? Not like we've not been talking about back to school, but Tony, let me throw it over to you and let's get her going.
Right on. As Rich said, it's the season. If you have kids, grandkids, or even if you don't have kids, you've probably noticed that it's that time again where you pull up to the traffic light and there's a long, long line because on the right turn is the school and everybody's waiting in line to get into the school, or you see kids running around up and down your block with their school books and backpacks in their hand, and it's that time. And so I was just curious, because I know how we were back in the 80s. Are your kids excited to go back to school? Because I know that my house was a bit divided on that, and I want to hear from you guys.
It's a good question. My kids are split also. My daughter's fired up to be there, be with her friends, kind of see each other after, you know, being away a long summer. But my son's, he was more kind of anxious about his senior year and all the work that was ahead of him. So they were a bit split. Not the same enthusiasm kind of level. Not at all.
Understood.
I'm upset about them going back, because if I leave my house 5 minutes later, I hit two buses as they're picking up kids. Ooh, so,
man. Oh, man.
Just sitting there and waiting and waiting. So I have to leave like 5 minutes earlier to get way ahead of those buses, man, or my day is shot.
And isn't it funny, Jimmy, that 5 minutes means so much in the morning when you're sleeping too. It's like, man. Oh man, I just wish I could have five more minutes.
Great.
This year for us, it's been exciting for the kids because we moved here last year, the school year. They didn't really have friends. So this year they definitely have friends, which is awesome. And they're excited about it. But also what's cool is my middle daughter can drive. So that's huge. That's, you know, that's a big win. So she could do all the pickups and drop offs.
Nice.
So it's good. It's good.
Dusty, how about your grandkids?
Sorry. The hard part is I have to remember they're in school, so I can't just pop over there and see them or whatever. I'm like, oh shoot, they don't get out of school until 3:45, so I can't go over until like after 4. But yeah, other than that, it doesn't affect me at all.
Nice.
Yeah,
I know that my kids were divided, like much like yours, Rich. My older son was a real social kid, so he was always excited to get back to school. My younger two, they just loved the pleasures of sleeping in and getting up in the morning, running out in the backyard and jumping in the pool and, you know, jumping on the trampoline and playing on the basketball court. Just all the fun things about being at home, you know, watching what you want, eating when you want, running into the cupboards, grabbing snacks and, you know, basically running around in your swim shorts all day in the summer. So that was kind of, you know, and both of them were kind of concerned about preparation. Oh, do I have all of my pencils that they're requesting? Do I have all of the, you know, the proper software loaded in my little iPad that I have to take to school? And, you know, my older one didn't care, but my other two were very meticulous about being prepared. And so they had a little bit of that first day of school anxiety. But can you guys remember back for us? I mean, I feel like I had mixed feelings. I mean, obviously I loved summer, but I always, still to this day, even with the, you know, axe and going back to school, I do better with structure. And when I don't have structure, I definitely can run amok. You know, I find myself you know, tinkering around and just wasting a lot of time. So for me, the structure of it, okay, get up in the morning, you know, be there, drive to school. And then after that, go to the gym and then go to the office and get the day started. So it's like, cause when I don't have that, it's like, I'll sleep in a little bit. Yeah. You know, I'm going to make breakfast at home today. And then it's like, next thing you know, it's like 10:30. It's like, holy crap, I got to get to the office.
Yeah, totally.
So for me, the structure is nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sad when school starts again, cause that means summer's coming to an end and we enjoy having the kids and doing fun things, that kind of thing. But yeah, structure's good. You know, get you out of bed in the morning at a certain time. And it's good because, like, I don't feel like when the kids are home and I'm working during the day from home, it's always like, I want to be out there. You know, this, I don't want to be behind the desk all day. So it's always, I'm always torn. But now their kids are at school, so I can get work done. So that's, you know, double-edged sword.
Yeah.
Good and bad.
Do you guys, I saw you mention this, Jimmy, and I don't know the answer to this question, but do you guys think school is harder now than it was, or was it harder in the 80s?
100% harder now.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Really? I don't. Maybe I'm thinking of like doing homework. To find anything, you had to like be friends with somebody that had the whole encyclopedia.
Yeah. Yeah,
I would agree.
And it was always the weird guy that had it all. They had to make friends with him. But it worked out. Me and Rich are still friends.
Nice.
No, I think you have a point there, Jimmy. I mean, definitely, I agree with you, Rich, that, you know, some of the stuff may be a little harder technical-wise, but I agree. Like, information was much harder to come by then. I mean, you could... With ChatGPT and all of the AI, I mean, it just seems like if you want to, come up with some answers, you can definitely get them there.
Yeah. But the expectations were so much lower. You know, like the teachers, when they grade your reports and your topic, they know you're practically plagiarizing from the encyclopedia. Right. There's everyone had the same excerpts and, you know, but now there's so much information. They expect a lot more from you. So
yeah, how many different ways can I write Pearl Harbor down and what year it happened? And you know, yeah, it's like, exactly. Come on, like we're all writing about the same thing. Like,
oh yeah.
Then there's always that person that threw the curve off that wrote about, oh, could you imagine the feeling of the young sailors that were, and it's like, come on, bro. Like you have to like get the A and like just blow us all out of the water. We're just straight up writing the data out of the encyclopedia on this date. This was the name of the ship, you know, all facts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my
God.
I guess why I thought school is harder now is that my kids have 10 times the homework I ever did in high school. And I'm not sure why that is. I think that maybe teachers nowadays, they're managing the kids in class more than actually teaching. It just seems like when we were in school, we did the work in the class. Like we went in and we did homework there. Yeah. And it seems like they just send my kids home with like worksheet after worksheet. I'm like, why aren't you doing this in class? And I don't know. Maybe it's different that way, but.
I'm thinking of it as from a business perspective. If you can sit back and get paid the same amount and have the parents do the work rather than yourself. I mean, I'm not saying that all teachers do that. I'm just saying that it's weird how people incentivize people to do that. You could see where you could be incentivized to do that. I mean, it's not like, oh my gosh, you know, it definitely, I mean, if, hey, you know, I can just give the kids the material and they can take it home and do it with their parents.
Yeah. That's why we took my daughter out of public school for that very reason. She would get 3 hours worth of handouts to work on and then reading.
Yeah.
And they're like, why? What? Didn't make sense.
When I was in Hawaii, we had an amazing private school for the kids called Les Jardins. And their curriculum they used is they don't send homework home. The kids finish everything in class. There's no homework sent home because they know the parents end up. They're burdened with the homework and they're mainly a lot of times even doing it. So no, that all stays in the class. And I just love that philosophy, but haven't seen that anywhere else for sure.
Did any of your kids have the block schedule where it's four classes, but they're each an hour and a half?
Yes. Mine did.
Yeah, mine did too. And they never came home with homework, but they're in the class for an hour and a half or 90 minutes, whatever. Yeah. So,
you know, my kids, I shout out to the school they went to. They went to private school. And this isn't the only reason that I sent them to private school, is because the district we happened to be in wasn't. If we were in like the Irvine district, which was like university high school and all that, my kids would have went to public school. But we were in a district where I felt they were better served at the private school they went to. And the one thing I am happy about is my kids did do that block schedule. Then they had what was called the learning lab, because the philosophy of the school is like, when kids are after school, we want them, if they're doing school sports, to be able to do their school sports and go to practice and not have to worry about staying up till late doing all their homework, number one. And number two, we want them to be able to have some family time when they get home. We don't want them just to like get home, study and do homework all night. And then, oh great, it's time to eat and go to bed. So I really appreciated that. And the one thing that I'm also thankful for is that when both of my boys went to the university, it was because they were already taking some of their classes online. Prior to the pandemic, they were already learning on iPads and turning it in on Blackboard. Like a lot of the kids they went to school with in the very beginning of college were like having trouble. My kids were getting paid for like showing them how to turn in their work and showing them how to upload stuff to the different, you know, applications for the teachers. And it was like, wow. And they're like, Dad, this is so awesome. And they really didn't have a difficult time, you know, going through university.
See, that's,
and I think it was because of the school.
Yeah, for sure, Tony. And that's it. I felt like in high school, I barely learned anything. I really didn't. And it's really not the teacher's fault. I didn't apply myself.
Oh, I didn't either.
For sure.
I can't blame the teachers, but I hear you.
But how much harder and what a disadvantage I was at the college level. I had to work so much harder than everyone else because I had to make up for high school and learn, you know, everything that I didn't learn there and on top of the college work. So yeah, that was brutal. That was brutal trying to get up to speed in college after, you know, my high school experience.
I'm there with you, brother. Gosh. Is that time, Richie?
It could be that time.
Okay. It is.
I think it is. It's time to get to know your Flophouse crew. I'm going to turn that off. This week, I asked the boys to share a back-to-school memory from their 80s childhood, and we're going to try to figure out which memory fits which flopper. So, you guys ready for this?
Let's do it.
Yeah,
totally. These are going to be super challenging, I think. So, all right. First one. Entering sixth grade, on day one, on a dare, I stomped on a kid's lunchbox that was by the school doors. I was immediately in the principal's office.
Tony.
Tony, why'd you do that?
Just the kind of guy I am, right?
I don't know. I'm going to go with Ryan. But if I did, I'd be wrong because that was me.
You at all? No.
Rich. That does not sound like you at all, Richie.
So
wow,
yeah, that's
Andre Agassi's lunch pail.
No, it's an unproud moment. This is elementary school when I was up in Seattle.
And trying to be one of the cool guys, huh, Rich? Mm-hmm.
What a jerk! But yeah.
Well, that's definitely a rascally move. I choose to use the word rascal, Jimmy.
Rascally,
yeah, yeah.
Rascal.
It softens it up a little bit. Softens my bad behavior.
Okay, the next one, I threw up in a sink.
The first day of school? Yeah. Or just...
First day of school, I threw up in a sink. I'm voting dust.
I wonder if that's Jimmy. Well, could be dust.
I think Jim.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards Slimmy on this one.
I don't know, I've seen Ryan throw up a few times.
That was the flu, I'm sure.
Yeah.
The flu... So I took a drink and then I just went right in the water fountain, and it wasn't Pop Tarts. It was the off brand. It was like Pop Pops or something.
Were the kids cheering you on?
Weird and orange juice and orange juice. So
Pop Pops.
Not proud.
Have you guys ever had like a kid in class throw up? Like in high school or grade school, like one kid would throw up and then it would be a chain reaction where others would see it and they'd start going,
Is it just not the smell of the vomit now? It's like,
my mouth is watering. Let's move on. Let's see. My first day of fifth grade, I wore my favorite back to school shopping purchase, a gold Rocky t-shirt. In fifth grade.
That's dope. That's dope. Hey, whoever this is, that's sick. Dusty, were you a Rocky dude?
No, that sounds like Ryan.
Okay, then Ryan, dude, hands down.
Wager. Ryan's not putting up much of a defense. Ryan, go ahead.
No, I love that shirt, though. It was the Rocky, you know, it had Sylvester Stallone and his trainer, and it was, like, gold, and, you know, it was the year, like, doesn't like silk screening came out with like movies and stuff, nice. You know, because before it was just like your standard shirts. But then that was like the thing, having silk screen pictures of movies or sports. And I just remember I saw that in the store and I was like, yeah, I couldn't wait. I wanted to wear it that night.
Dude, I for sure. If I saw you in what grade was that? Fifth grade?
I think that's pretty close.
I would have been like, as a fifth grader, I would have went up there and went, dude, that is a sick shirt, bro.
Yeah. Nobody did that.
I think I might have told you guys this before on another podcast, but that movie Rocky just like got me. I was the kind of kid, I'd watch a skateboard movie and then I would want to be a pro skateboarder. I'd watch it, whatever it was, motocross, whatever it was.
I'm still like that today.
I know, huh? So when I saw Rocky, I was like, I went into the kitchen and my mom's like, what are you doing? And I broke some raw eggs and drank them and was like, yeah, I did. I totally did. And then I went running. I just took off and went running. I was running upstairs and doing all kinds of stuff. And I really did that. I look back now and I laugh my ass off because, dude, in my head, I was training to be Rocky, man. Yeah. And nobody could convince me any other way.
I'm with you on that. We just watched a movie on the theater called Gran Turismo.
Oh, I've
Gran Torino.
Is that Clint Eastwood?
No, it's not.
Oh, I'm thinking Gran Torino. I'm thinking Gran Torino. Thanks,
Torino. And I always make that mistake when I use that name. So Gran Torino. No, Gran Turismo is where a video game. Yes. They're video game guys, and then they went into the and race cars for real. But anyway, it's a great movie. But when I got in the car with the family, I was just like gunning it and doing like really fast.
Trying
and
to drift. Yelling at breaking.
Me. The kids were laughing.
Were you breaking then accelerating through the turns?
Oh, totally. Yeah.
We have this
in the Toyota Highlander.
We have this thing. We have this thing here called K1 Speed, and it's like these go-karts that go really like they're awesome. And I like literally geek out in there sometimes. Then I'll be like, "You spent $200 at K1." I'm like, I got into it. I wanted to beat the time. I wanted to be on the time board for today.
It's like a video game addiction all over again. Yeah,
it's funny. When you talked about your favorite T-shirt, my favorite T-shirt of that age. It was a Planet of the Apes, but like the picture of the ape was kind of, it was almost like raised from the shirt, kind of that foamy stuff. Dude, that was my,
the puppy stuff. Yeah.
That was my favorite.
Yeah, the puppy stuff.
Planet of the Apes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But that puppy stuff didn't last long, did it? Yeah. Neither did the original silkscreens either. They just wear out and got streaks through their faces.
Yeah. I remember I used to get so mad at my mom. I'd be like, why is this peeling off?
Yeah.
It's just the design, honey. No, you're doing something wrong. You're ruining my shirt instead of.
Exactly.
You're supposed to turn it inside out, lady.
Yeah. I felt like, you know, that scene on Hangover when Zach Galifianakis comes in from playing tennis and he goes, Mom, Oreo shake now. And he like walks into his room. I look back now sometimes and I'm like, oh, man, I was such a brat.
No, it's so bad.
All right, we got two more answers here. I'll read them both. It's between Dusty and Tony. The first one was this first day of high school and all the upperclassmen waiting at the bus drop-off for all the freshmen to exit. And the other answer is first day of my junior year, I straight up sweated it out in the MHS parking lot, if you know what I mean.
Wow.
Dusty, I didn't know you sweated out in the MHS parking lot your junior year, baby. Yeah. Attaboy, that's hot.
It was.
Yeah.
Tony, don't gaslight us. That second was Tony. And the first one was... Sorry, Dusty. The second one was Dusty. The first one.
That's my pick, too.
Dusty's getting offended. What are they saying, Dusty?
Jeez.
What happened? Okay, now I need to know because I just saw Dusty react.
No, you're right. But...
oh.
You're saying like it couldn't possibly have been me. It had to be Tony.
No, I didn't mean it like that. That's not true. I just
Dust. We'll give you credit for we'll give you credit for number two, but you got to say who it was.
Let me think of something.
Nice.
Yeah, Tony. I hope your windows were tinted. By the way,
dude. Oh. You know, you guys remember, like, in September in Boyhead, it was still 100 degrees. And in the morning, it was still warm. So, I mean, dude. And high school kids don't always have the greatest hygiene. So, yeah. Rank stank, Jimmy. You're right. Wasn't one of Dusty's brighter moments, Dusty. I can't believe you did that.
Yeah. What do you mean?
And what do you mean?
Awesome, you guys did well.
I sent you another one too, Rich.
Oh, hold on. Yes, you did.
He only reads one of them.
Well, I edit sometimes. I edit.
He didn't find it that exciting.
All right, here's another one. First day of senior year, I wore jeans and a white t-shirt and stolen bowling shoes. No cap.
Oh. Yeah, I know. I was with you when we got those bowling shoes. We got a few of us together.
Yeah, I think we all wore the same thing.
Oh, you know what? We all decided to do that.
That's what
didn't
I'm
we?
Saying. That's
first
what,
day of school.
That's
yeah,
why if Rich would have read that one instead of the other one, you guys would have had a hard time.
That's right.
Because
there was. We all did that.
I
remember that. Like everybody has their fancy clothes, and we're like, nah, this is where
we're seniors now. We don't have to impress anybody. We're gonna slap on some white t-shirts, grab your oldest pair of Levi's you have, and we'll throw a bowling shoes.
I remember that.
That was sick. That quite
was
a statement.
Phone call the night before. That's hilarious.
Nice. You guys did great. You done did good this episode. I appreciate it. All right, let's move on. That was getting to know the floppers. Tony, take it away.
Awesome. So we're gonna be doing a segment from time to time on our podcast called 80s Guys Perspective. And it's pretty self-explanatory. You know, it's going to be from our generation, our perspective, how we kind of look at things through the lens of our upbringing and through the lens of our culture and, you know, our music and education and everything we went through. And so I'm going to start off. The question I had for the guys is, how did you or do you deal with successes, failures, disappointments with your kids when they were in school? And I'm going to start off by kind of giving you an example of how I was dealt with, you know, and I'm not saying it's wrong and I'm not throwing shade at anybody. I'm just saying it was different, you know, from the 80s. Like my dad would simply just say, you know, what the hell's wrong with you? You know, it would be something like that. It'd be a one word statement or get it right, kid, or, you know, something like that. It was always like, you know, there wasn't a lot of I always had a question. I would be scratching my head. Well, what exactly does that look like? What does that mean? You know, and so from our 80s perspective, I think a lot of us had to just kind of figure things out for ourselves in the 80s. A lot of us were just kind of like, okay, how do we navigate these things? How do you, you know, and I know myself, I didn't always deal with failure great. You know, if I thought I should get more play time on the football team, or I thought I should be playing a certain position in baseball, or I thought that, you know, at wrestling, this is some of the advantages that I should have gotten. And, you know, as a kid, you don't really know how to deal with this. And sometimes you ask your parents and they may not have the greatest answer other than life's tough. Just deal with this, kid, you know, and that's how I was brought up in the 80s. So when my kids were coming up, I had to kind of take a step back and go, okay, I don't want to try to answer him that way because I know the way that I felt as like a 14-year-old boy asking my dad for some advice. And he'd say, you know, pull your pants up, you pussy, you know, it's like, don't be such a pansy. And that's kind of, and I'd be like, oh, okay, I don't want to be a pansy. So I guess I'll figure it out, you know. And then, you know, but I wanted to kind of like try to give my kids a little something that they could hold on to, you know, when they either, you know, didn't pass a test or, you know, didn't get the playtime that they thought. So, you know, what about you guys? How did you guys deal with the successes and failures? How were you kind of in the 80s? How did your parents deal with you? And how did you kind of change that to deal with your kids, if any?
Well, I struggle with that because, whenever I had disappointments or failures, I just kept it to myself, really. I didn't you know, it wasn't like I didn't really deal with it emotionally. I just put it on the back burner and just like, oh, well,
I gotta keep going.
So I feel like I'm not real equipped to help my kids in that matter, because that's how I dealt with it.
And then
when I always envision like this Bill Cosby moment where I walk in the room and I say, what's going on, Slugger? You know, what's the problem? And I try.
I've heard that
things,
so many times in my life.
And they're like, Dad, you are making it worse. Just, and I'm like, yeah. And I just, I've had very few of those moments where I walk out thinking, oh, you know, I handled that good, man. I should be on the sitcom. But most of the time it's just like, wow, I don't know. I'm not helping here. And so maybe it's just listening is probably the best thing to do. And maybe that's what I've come to terms with. Maybe they just want to talk. They don't want to be like lectured or corrected. Yeah. Just listen to them and that helps. But anyway, I'm not.
Yeah, I was a big one that bottled stuff
because
up.
Because of how I handled
it. Yeah, a failure, disappointment. You just dealt with it and went on. It was temporary. But I noticed with my kids, like Ryan said, I make it worse. Like if they would wake up in the middle of the night with a bad dream or whatever, I'd say, okay, go back to bed and think about water parks and, you know, water slides. And my wife's like, no, they want to talk it out. Like, I'm like, I want to go to bed. But if they ask me a question on a long journey and tell them, I'm going to say A or B. It's your choice, but A's the way I would go. And that's it.
That's pretty interesting. I
probably my answer would be a mix of what everybody's kind of shared. I didn't have both parents in the house. So when I was in high school and I had like, no, but she would immediately go, oh, well, that doesn't sound good. You should stop. Like, especially with wrestling, right? I was trying to lose weight. I mean, she's like,
yeah,
oh, you shouldn't do that and stuff. So, I didn't have many people to go to, and I kept it all inside. And I think that's kind of our generation, because definitely that was the way my dad was when I was growing up. But when I talked to my kids, I do exactly what Jimmy does. I'd say, okay, you had a tough time in that football game. Well, you can either, if they're saying he doesn't want to play, well then, okay, if you don't play, that's okay. But this is what, you know, these are the reasons why maybe you should stick with it. And, you know, sometimes that works okay. Sometimes it doesn't, but
yeah,
I probably overcompensate a bit. Like I probably just should have said, well, toughen up. Don't be, you know, whatever. And keep going, but usually I try to reason it out.
I would snap at that point. Like, you know, like, no, there's no reason to cry. I understand you're supposed to get in touch with your feelings, but it was a soccer game. You had fun when you're playing. Just relax. You lost. So what? I just couldn't deal with that.
So when you pose the question, I'm just thinking of like schoolwork and stuff. And, you know, when my kids were younger, I would try and help them out, and they'd be trying to show me how the teacher was teaching them, and
been there.
I didn't agree, so I'd show them the way I would do it.
But as
I got older, you know, it's more like, hey, it's, you know, especially in high school, it's your responsibility. I'll help you out when I can.
But my problem was they would ask me a math homework. I'm like, I've never seen this in my entire life. I don't know what you're doing, man. Like, you're on your own with this one. I don't know what it is. Yeah.
Exactly. Oh my gosh, that new math. Yeah, and my biggest piece is my kids bring it home, and then I'm like, so give me an example. Do you have any examples of how they got to this? No. I was like, I can't help you. I don't know how they did it. Anyway, like, did they go over these? No, they never went over. I was like, oh, okay, well. But they do. I mean, I did find these apps that you could just screen capture the problem. And it pulls it up. So that's a lifesaver. I forgot what they're called now. But so thank goodness for those. But other than that, I'm just lost completely.
It sounds like, I mean, from what I surmised from you guys, and then I kind of came to this conclusion myself. It sounds like, you know, a lot of times, a lot of life, you know, talking to our kids and stuff is like, you know, I'm here to be with you, but we all have to learn, you know, and as much as I would like to come in and rescue you, and trust me, there's so many times I've wanted to go in and rescue my kids. I learned through doing that, that that's not always the best solution. So, you know, it's kind of, I guess it's kind of a combination of let them kind of deal with things a little bit, but be there for them. You know, I mean, that's at least that's what I've come up with. Cause it's kind of like I always thought early on that, hey, I didn't have these things. And I remember I had to like bag ice and work and do these things. And I don't want my kid to have to do that. But in reality, those are kind of the things that made us who we are, is because we had to struggle through some of those things and we had to work hard. So, you know, in my naive thinking as a young dad wanting to like be perfect, I messed up in the beginning by doing that. And then later on, you know, when you have to kind of be like, hey, you know what, you got to figure it out. You got to learn how to work through this problem. You got to work to earn your stuff. You got to, you know, help around the house and do these things. You know, they're kind of like, look at you like, what? That, you know, because, and really I pointed the finger at me because I was the one that was trying to, you know, thinking in my flawed, you know, my flawed philosophy that, hey, I don't want my kids to go through that because I went through that and I didn't like it. Well, I mean, sometimes the things that we go through in life that we don't necessarily like, you know, are kind of good for us. So
that's true. You know. That's true.
So we got any mailbag this week, gentlemen?
Definitely have some mailbag. So I'll run through all of the emails. Again, it's awesome feedback. We always appreciate it. And let's get going. So first email was from Five Trick Pony at AOL. They write, love the show, boys, and love the newfound confidence in each of you, especially Tony. I heard that he wants to try out for Naked and Afraid, not because he thinks he can survive, but that he wants to see how much pixelation they'll require to cover up his junk while filming.
Yeah, boy. Come on, man.
Very thoughtful, Five Trick.
It's that new supplements that I'm on, Five Trick.
Nice.
El Guapo.
my old man nuts that hang down to my knees.
Tony, that was a rhetorical question.
I'm sorry.
Next, Stale Red Meat at Gmail says, Rich seems like someone who brags about being an avid reader, yet his bookshelves are filled with cliff notes and graphic novels.
No.
Okay. Yeah.
How do they know?
Yeah. Maybe I seem like that guy, but I am well read, Ryan. I swear.
No, I know you are.
All right, next up. Flo Rida at Mindspring writes, you guys are also sweet, especially Ryan. However, we all know that Ryan has a fart jar with a label that says do not open until New Year's 2025. Ryan, any truth to that?
I kind of stalled. There's a little pause.
No.
It's
whoa, wait.
Well, no, I have jars, but they're not that. So
crapping in jars.
like for example, belly button lint. I always tell my kids I'm making them a sweater out of belly button lint, so I've been collecting that for a while.
Everybody needs a hobby.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. At Arizona Body Count on Instagram writes, I heard the fantasy football episode that Rich and Dustin are going to go to a concert, then have a sleepover. I have a question. Does said sleepover require Dustin to dress in a panda suit? And does Dustin need to tuck his nether region like Buffalo Bill?
Whoa.
Any plans for dress up, Dusty?
The panda costume sounds like
not the one Rich has.
Nice.
Richie, I got an email sent. I think they forgot to send it to the 80s Flophouse podcast.
Go ahead.
It's backstage69 at hotmail.com. Hey, are the...
Okay. So when you get an email like that, maybe you shouldn't read it.
That's a phishing email. They're phishing.
I'm just kidding.
They must know us because it said... Hey, any of the old Huey Lewis lip sync boys down for some more backstage fun like MHS? I'm not sure what that means, but I don't know. I wasn't in that. I wasn't in that. Ryan, you were in that, right? And Dusty and okay. And Jimmy,
interesting boys.
Huh? Is there anything that you guys need to fess up about any backstage stuff going on?
No, we had some. We had fans and we had groupies, okay. But I don't ever remember anything.
Excellent.
Yes. Sorry.
next up for at Upstanding Cowboy Shorts at Instagram writes, fabulous episodes lately, and Ryan is totally the guy who takes it upon himself to direct traffic when leading.
You get out of your car,
leaving a crowded parking lot.
You guys over there, come.
Nice, Ryan. Do you carry little flags?
Well, you know.
It's like one of his biggest soda I've ever had. I can't believe a large is this big. And then he's like, wait, traffic. Pop the trunk. I got to go get my flags.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay. I do have one of those flags. Pretty critical. Close by.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Next one at 10 Holes Unnatural on Instagram writes, I don't trust that Dustin guy. He's always wearing that fake mustache. And wow, Ryan must have more hats than a Lids department store. And let's not forget Tony. He reminds me of a French king who strokes his phone with a single finger saying, who pleases me today?
Yeah.
That's a lot of amazing insight from our listeners.
Wow. They listen really closely.
There's a lot to pick up on, I guess.
That's observant.
All right, last one. At the Vegan Beefcake on Snap writes, really enjoying the new shows, guys, but I must say I miss Ty on the dais. Did he ever recover from his jet ski mat implants procedures on his back and ass? So I wasn't aware he was having implants. So.
That explains why he's been gone for so long.
Anybody else?
Wow. Talk? Yeah. We'll have to check that out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Recovering. The recovery on that, I'm sure it's a while.
I think we should call him.
Jet ski mats.
Just to be sure.
On his back and ass. Okay. Yeah. Anyways, thank you, listeners. Appreciate the mail and feedback. Please subscribe to our. social media feeds. We're on all of them. And continue the great emails to hello@the80sFlophousePodcast.com. Thank you for listening in, and subscribe, download, and we will see you on the flop side.
The 80s Flophouse Podcast.